whistling smoke. In the room I trapped myself in so long ago, where the blinds remain forever closed. Will it change? I hope so. Cause I have spent the past 4 years trying to find some peace of mind, and I think I might have found it this time.
2, 1. Hey everybody, Anthony here with Interviews with Everyday People. I actually don't know what episode number this is. I should have probably looked at that, huh? I'm so professional,
maybe,
guys, you know. I don't. It's been a while since I recorded interviews. Everything's been gone kind of crazy. This is 94, so we're closing in on that 100 mark. We're sitting here with the band Horrible Charlie, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
All right. So you guys are out of Pennsylvania. I'm seeing here it's saying the Reading and Andreas area.
Yeah, Reading and like Leesport.
Reading, Leesport. That's what it says on Bandcamp, I think, is Andreas.
Andreas.
Yeah, I don't know
why.
I don't
know where that is.
Andreas is where I had Skookstock. It was a thing I. Yeah. Oh no, it's okay.
Like
never mind.
More than us.
Never mind. It says your one event is in Andreas, Pennsylvania, where you're going to be playing in the Punk Scare Festival. That's what it says.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Facebook added a new thing, I guess. I didn't notice it, but usually it says your band name on Facebook and then where you're located, but it has your next event on the very top, which I think is good. So good. Kudos to Facebook for doing proper promoting.
I think that's the first time anybody's ever said that.
What, giving Facebook props for promoting?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, they always fucking change stuff. So, like, you used to be able to invite all your friends or invite other people were able to invite friends to your page, and then they got rid of all that because they're like, no, you got to pay us for that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fucking bullshit.
I don't know. I got like $5 in credit that I have not used yet.
$5 gets you a lot of fake numbers. It's
I don't know. It just keeps popping up on my screen, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that is, and continue on.
So, what style of music would you guys consider yourselves?
Somewhere between
pop punk.
Somewhere between like emo and punk. I
don't say emo. Stop.
There's
nothing wrong with
emo. I'll take emo over ska. We're not ska.
We are not ska. We have like ska parts in songs, but we're not ska.
All right.
Somewhere between emo and punk, I'd say.
All right.
What are some of your influences, if you would say, where you draw a lot of your inspiration from?
Like Flatliners, Off With Their Heads, bands like that.
The Menzingers probably.
Big one.
Okay. That's dope. Now, how did you guys find out about us?
Through Noah.
The hardest working kid I've ever met in my life. He's like
super
young. He's grinding. A lot of respect for that kid. So you guys will be playing at the Skookstock Fest. Oh, yes, not Skookstock. It's in the same venue. The Punk Stereo Festival. And that will be, hopefully, if you know the vaccine comes out and this whole COVID thing goes away, July 10th. In 2021. I think tickets are available now. So how did you guys form this band? I know like a lot of musicians, I'm not a personal musician, but all my friends are like, oh, this is like my 438th band. So how did it come together for you guys?
Sean, you want to take this one?
Nope. So for me, this is probably my third here, like semi-serious band.
Mm-hmm.
And, Taylor and I have been playing music together since we started playing music, which is 12 years ago at this point.
16 years ago.
Or, yeah, 16, Jesus Christ.
And then I joined the band with Jerry in, like, 2009?
Yeah, so the three of us were in a ska band together, and then Sean joined the ska band after I left the ska band, and then we decided to start this band, pretty much.
Nice. Now, I probably should do this in the beginning. If we can go from one side of the couch to the other and just kind of say your names and what instrument you play. So this way, if the people who are not watching the video and they're just listening to audio only, they kind of know who they're hearing.
Oh, okay. We'll go...
go this way to that
one. Yeah, so Taylor, he's going to start.
I'm Taylor, and I play guitar.
All right.
Casey and I play drums.
I'm Marie, and I play guitar and sing.
Sean and I play bass.
All right. I like it.
And Taylor and Jerry are supposed to, or Taylor and Sean are supposed to sing, but sometimes don't.
It happens.
They're supposed to do backups.
So you guys are in the Reading area, correct? Just to re-edit that.
Correct.
What is the music scene like out there?
Once prospering, now fleeting.
Yeah, pretty much dead, honestly.
There's a couple of good bands, but not as many as there used to be.
Interesting.
Not as many bands, I mean, in general, as there used to be.
We
lack venues.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big part of the problem.
That's a huge Cool County thing as well. We have insanely talented bands of all different genres and styles, except there's really nowhere for them to play except, like, bars, and a lot of bars can't facilitate full bands. So it's
I was gonna say, like, it seems like the bands up there just play, you know, fucking anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll cram them into a bar if the bar lets them.
It's a good thing.
Are you guys aware of any of the bands out here?
Ted Hazard.
Oh, I love that too.
And Condition Oakland and Sumner Park.
Okay.
Aaron Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, all very, very talented people. I'm really looking forward to the Punk's area thing, because there's a lot of bands on there I have not heard before, or I have not seen live, so I'm really excited to finally see a lot of these and kind of bring you guys into, like, the Schuylkill County fold. And I'm all about collaborations. I've had a lot of people who've been on the podcast and then other bands talk, like, watch the interview and then see them, and they're like, yo, we should link up and do shows and stuff together. That hasn't happened in a while due to... the world ending.
I'm about done with all that.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It's very hard to do anything. Now, one of the things too you guys have is you have a Bandcamp page. So if you guys go over to I've been promoting and talking about Bandcamp for a while. I think it's absolutely fantastic that you can kind of go on there and tip and give more money than expected and really support an artist more than you can if you did, like, a Spotify or something. So you guys have four albums. A demo, a live, and then it looks like two other albums with that?
I'd call more EPs.
I think there's a single we put up on there.
Was there a single?
The demo probably shouldn't be up there anymore.
Yeah, we should probably delete the demo.
Like, oh, yeah, Me, You, and Buddha Kai.
We might take that down, so if you want to listen to it, you got, like, a week or two.
All right. Everyone go download the demo before it goes away.
Yeah. I agree. Bandcamp has a good thing going as far as just promoting.
Oh, it's a great bands. Platform to, like, just promote yourself and, like, get yourself a little exposure and, like, maybe, like, hey, check this out on this. And, like, you got a whole, like, website and everything backing you. So.
And the website actually promotes you guys and gives you the money you deserve instead of, like, you have to have 458 plays to get, like, $3.
Right.
Yeah. I try to tell a lot of artists to go that route. Now, in the Reading area, what is the predominant style of music that's out there?
Cover bands.
Dad rock cover bands, probably.
We're not gonna name any.
The OG guys. We have that too. I'm a fan of both. Obviously, I like hear originals, and then I like the covers as well. I think there's a good
It's entertaining, but, like, it's not what we do.
No, I'm not shade. No shade here thrown. I enjoy both. I like hearing original music, but then sometimes I'm blackout drunk and I want to hear some guy try to sing Journey, you know?
Yeah. But, like, you show up to a bar, you got a little buzz going. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, I like this song.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's good to have a little sing-along.
And they're doing it well. Like, if they do it well, like, they deserve all the admiration they get, but, like, I feel like they get a little more admiration than they deserve.
Like, out of nowhere,
that's just me.
Out of nowhere, it's like, are they playing fucking Enter Sandman right now?
It is very hard to get. It's kind of like you guys are enjoying craft beers. It's kind of hard to get someone to get away from the Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, and enjoy a craft beer, which takes a lot more work and it's made independently.
That's just shit that's easy to get drunk off of. Like, the other stuff, it's like, all right, I can't chug this, but I can drink this, like, with a nice steak or something. So, like, you got to pair it well.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the music scene. A lot of people are like, well, I don't want to go see a band and pay a cover that I'm not 100% sure if I'm into or like them. But if I go see this cover band, they're going to probably play at least six songs I know and I can get White Girl Wasted.
Yeah. There's been many a shows we've been booked with, like, a metal band, and it's like, why the fuck are we here? And, like, there's this one thing in Philly, I don't want to really go into detail because it was a shit fest, but like we played with a bunch of hippie bands and it's like, what the hell is going on? But like, I wound up making friends with people. Like it was a fun experience, but it was like, why are we here?
That was literally Skookstock when I threw it. I had bands. I had three original bands, three cover bands, and then two headlining bands. And they were all over the spectrum, and it was fucking awesome. But because that's just type, that's who I am. I like all genres.
With that. Like it's fun to like get a little like break in like the, I don't know, melodic like whatever is going on. Like you go to see a punk show, and like a metal band shows up, and it's like whoa! I wasn't expecting this, but like I'm entertained.
Absolutely, yeah. It you got to really come out of your comfort zone and work that crowd and get them into what you're doing.
Yeah,
I like the sharing earbuds thing. It's adorable, by the way, guys. I like it a lot.
Taylor's not a fan of it because I keep trying to rip it out of his fucking face. So.
Reaching for your beard and like pulling his hair out.
My bad.
So,
apologies.
Were you guys all in the music scene like in high school? Were you like band kids, or what was your upbringing like when it came to music and like through the high school years?
When him and him were in high school, we were only like 7 years old.
I'm old.
So
how old are you?
Ready.
I'm 35.
Okay, I'm 33. So you got. It's about time I actually interview someone close to my age. I appreciate that.
Right. Well, before music, it was roller skating. Like I used to go roller skating every Friday and Saturday night. Then around 18, I discovered Sound Waves, which was part of Wooden Waves, and like. I was like, holy shit, there's music. And like, I started a band with my friend, and then like, we needed a bass player. So I got my brother on board. He started playing bass. I played drums since I was like 13. So like on and off here and there, like I'd dabble in it and nothing would come of it. And then I finally met someone that it like prospered with. And then I got my brother on board and like started getting in the music scene. So roller skating went the wayside. But I still got those moves, just so you know.
We used to have a roller skating rink here that would allow bands, like underage bands back in the day, to play on the roller rink.
Roller Roost?
Yeah, the Roller Roost, yep.
Fucking ain't right, dude. I've been there.
Yeah.
See, that sounds awesome.
That was my hangout spot.
Damn straight, dude. Well, for us, it was Pheasant Land.
Yeah.
And, like, we used to go there every Friday and Saturday night. And back in, like, the 70s and the freaking 80s, like, they had pictures all over the walls of bands playing there, and I was like, why isn't anyone doing this?
Where I'm trying to work my way in through the roller derby team to get in there and do an interview with the Roller Roost, and if I do end up talking to the new owners, I would love to for them to have adult nights like on a Saturday night.
In a former band, some of my friends got to play.
I was just gonna say it, and I forgot you weren't in the band
now. I was not in the band at that point.
Yeah,
I got kicked out
in Hamburg. Okay. Field house for a roller derby. We were playing like in between rounds.
Yeah, it was halftime at the roller derby.
They played in the Hamburg field house roller derby?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they used to do WWF stuff there.
Yes, they did. Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan wrestled in the Hamburg
damn
field
straight,
house.
Yo.
Yeah.
There's pictures of him in like the Reading freaking like ghettoest of ghetto like bar hotels like plastered.
Yeah, there's a rumor that when he was at the Hamburg Fieldhouse, he went to a bar like in walking distance. Well, he didn't walk there, but a walking distance of the Hamburg Fieldhouse, and a bunch of people were like taunting him and talking shit, and he got up to go after him, and they all ran out, and they were driving like a little Volkswagen bus, like Bug, and he went out and flipped the Bug with them all inside of it. I don't know how true it is, but like,
you know,
it's Andre. Andre has all those legendary
you
stories.
You gotta believe it, because that man was a beast.
Yeah, he's a big
like,
boy.
He was
a big
he
boy.
He was almost 500 pounds.
He was bigger than a
boy. But it wasn't like fat. Like the dude was like jacked.
Yeah. That's another one of my hobbies is pro wrestling. I'm a huge pro wrestling nerd.
I want to get into it, but I just don't have the time to devote to it.
Oh, and there's so much right now. There's like five companies on TV.
A muscle.
Fact check that
statement. Yeah, I don't have my phone. So yeah,
I wouldn't say it was all muscle.
How much did Andre the Giant weigh at his heaviest?
I thought you guys were talking about Hulk Hogan.
No, oh, fuck no. Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
He deliberately took the title from Andre, and Andre agreed to lose
okay.
to him.
All right. And this guy
is we're talking WrestleMania like one or two, whatever.
Yeah. Andre
I'm
Andre
old, motherfucker.
I think Andre at his peak was 520.
520 pounds. 520. So I was sorry.
Yep.
I totally almost ripped the earbuds out of all of our ears.
It's all right. Wrestling, you get ear. Wrestling is very passionate.
I just thought you guys were talking about Hulk Hogan.
No, fuck Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan was probably like 300 some, 250, 300.
That's what I mean. Yeah, he said 500 like, about Hulk Hogan. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, we're talking Andre the motherfucking giant.
Now it makes more sense.
I love it.
I used to watch it every like Saturday and Sunday with my grandpa.
Yeah, it's on all the time. It's so hard to keep up with it all now because I said there's so many different companies.
But like if someone like can coagulate it into like a like form you can like read and like it's really entertaining. It's like, goddamn, I want to get into this, but like there's so much lore and so much backstory, and I ain't got the time of day for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shit changes like on the fucking flip of a coin.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. As someone who covers it, it's a lot. Yeah, well, let's get back into music. We'll take another side tangent here, there, I'm sure, down the road. But
I need to shut up.
No, I listen. I'll talk wrestling all day. I want to give everybody else an opportunity. so when did you guys pick up your instruments and what were some of your influences on doing so? And like I said, were you guys in high school band or was it just something like a parent or a father figure or family members got you into? What was like your story into music?
I'll let Taylor go first.
Basically, when Jerry and I were in like middle school, we just decided to start playing instruments, and so we both bought like the exact same guitar bass combo, which is kind of weird looking back now.
Yeah.
But we basically like just I loved Nirvana and Blink-182 at the time, and Jimi Hendrix, and I just wanted to start doing that, and yeah, it was all history from there.
Yeah, Nirvana and Jimi Hendrix are definitely high on my list. And Blink-182. Blink-182 is the first concert I've ever seen live. I'm a huge Blink fan. Yeah, I love Blink-182.
Nice.
I was supposed to see Blink with Linkin Park at Hershey Park. And unfortunately, the week that show was supposed to happen is when we lost Chester. So that was a bummer.
Oh.
Linkin Park was a huge one for me. That's like what got me into like rock music, basically, when I was like a little kid. It was Hybrid Theory.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I said, I like all genres of music. So the fact that they put like, you know, pop rock mixed with like a form of heavier version, and then you throw some hip hop in there, I was all about it.
Oh yeah,
well you gotta mix it up.
Yeah, I like it. All right,
Sean, you want to go first, or you want me?
No, you can go.
All right, Sean and I are brothers. So our old man was a drummer professionally through like the 80s and everything. And like basically when I turned 13, he got me my first drum set because he was afraid if I got into it earlier, I would give it up and it would be a waste of money. So he waited till I was like adamant, like, I want this. But in like fourth grade, I had done trombone and absolutely hated it because I'm a tall, lanky guy now. But like back then, I couldn't reach the last note. And I just remember being reprimanded by my music coach or teacher or whatever you want to call him. So I got out of trombone really fast. And then around 13, I got interested in playing drums and then pursued that. And then at one point got out of it. Sean took over my drum set. And then, what do you mean, no?
No. I played for like a month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sean did not play drums or pursue it. I picked it back up, and then I started a band with a friend of mine, and then we needed a bass player, so I convinced Sean to take over bass, and that started Sean on the bass.
And I've stuck with bass pretty much since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a bunch of bands and played bass in all of them.
Yeah. Dude, Sean got into like this whole metal scene like that I couldn't even fathom like touching.
Yeah, I have the one guy I co-host with. He's in two heavy metal bands, and I like the music, but it's just really hard for me. I'm very lyric driven, so when it's just all like,
oh no, Sean was like in these technical like metal bands like math metal or like whatever the hell you call that nonsense. That's like it's insane.
Yeah, there were some pretty intense ones.
one. You just got to speak up just a hair. It's hard to hear you.
Yeah. Speak up.
Just the one with Jake and the one with Brian, both of those.
our buddy Jake Diefenbach, who's in Rivers of Nile.
I was in a band with him before.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I kind of just like fell into like the punk scene and like have been in and out of bands ever since. And like I joined a band in like 2009 with Jerry and a couple other friends of ours. Taylor joined in what, 2010? 2011. So I was in the band a little bit and like I actually hated fucking Taylor at first because like I live in the backbeat. Like that's my style of drumming. Like my dad was a jazz drummer, so like I got a little influence on the jazz. Like so like I live in the backbeat and like me and Taylor just did not click and I absolutely hated him. He fucking hated me.
I thought we were cool to be honest.
Fuck off. But like eventually like we've been playing so long together, like we eventually clicked and like I couldn't imagine being in like anything without Taylor now. Like we just click on a level like I've never clicked with another musician.
Awesome.
Jerry, how'd you start?
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm burping a little bit.
Rona.
do you want some water?
No, I'm good.
Drink more beer to go away.
So I'm lucky enough that my old man has played guitar since he was 11 or 12, probably. And, you know, when I started playing, and I'm not trying to get too real or anything, but, like, when I started playing, I needed some kind of outlet or something to get myself into because my mom died probably like 4 or 5 months before I started playing. And I started playing bass and it was just a way for me to just focus my energy on something.
He's a nasty bass player.
And
like awesome.
And I started, like Taylor said, we started in a band together.
No offense.
And I was lucky enough to have a friend that I could just like we could just do this one thing that we both had interest in together at the time because we were probably like what 12 or yeah. something like that yeah 12. And you know we would teach Taylor and I would like I'd see him like probably once or twice a week after school when we started playing and we would you know we would teach each other things sometimes mm-hmm. like I learned things from him. He learned things from me, and it was a really, really just healthy thing for me at the time.
Yeah.
And we started a band together, and then, you know, like Casey was saying, we were all in another band at one point, and then here, and then this is where we are now. We're all in this band. We're in Horrible Charlie now.
Mm. So you took a lot of the grieving process and turned that energy into music and learning an instrument.
Yeah, I did my best to. I probably could have done better.
No, honestly, I think you saying that's a healthy thing is very, very smart. Like, and it's very self-aware too. I mean, a lot of people when they go through something like that, like I mean, I can't relate at all. I have never lost a parent or anything, or but like that can't be easy. And for you to be like, you know what, like I need to focus on something, and picking up an instrument is awesome. You know, a lot of people just kind of dwell and that depression kicks in.
And, you know, I don't even know if at the time I even considered it like that, but, you know, I think about it now and like, I
do. It helps.
It's an outlet. It helped. And I don't know if I made that decision, consciously or not, but, it helped. For sure.
No, that's a very, very interesting aspect of that. I appreciate you sharing that. And I am sorry about, you know, the loss of your mother there at such a young age. That's not easy.
Yeah.
Shit
happens.
Well, I mean, it's a way to look at it now. I had a question there. What is the age gap between everybody?
Taylor and I are both 28. Casey's 34.
Fucking 5.
35. John is 32.
I'll be 36 in January.
Okay, so Casey's 35. Sean is 33.
Okay.
So it's not huge, but there's a little bit of a gap.
Yeah, I mean that...
enough of a gap that, you know, these two like got to really experience. We were talking about the music scene in Reading earlier. Like they got to really experience it, and Taylor and I like just missed it pretty much.
Yeah, they hit the like tail end of it, and like there was a couple things still going on, but like. It wasn't what it once was.
I started going to shows probably like right after Soundwaves closed, so I went to the Silo. Where's the Silo at?
183. Yeah. By the Reading Airport.
Yeah. So that was like my first experience.
And that's gone stuff. Now.
And that's shut down now.
What was the big one in Reading?
Soundwaves, and before that, it was fucking. Like the Fire Escape or some shit like that. I can't remember. But there was also Burke's Lanes or Heaster's Lanes.
Heaster's Lanes, yeah.
Heaster's Lanes was the fucking shop. Big one. And then it became Soundwaves and then...
What was the meat store?
Alexander's. Oh, that's it.
That's the one I couldn't fucking remember.
I think it was Alexandria's or something.
Yeah, there was Alexandria.
Yeah, there was a deli that everybody would play.
Sean's got an awesome story about Alexandria's.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it, Sean.
He doesn't want to talk. He said he didn't want to talk like this whole thing, so now I'm going to put him on the spot, so he's got to talk.
I don't want
to
make
him. The owner owes me a mirror.
Well, he leaves it open-ended.
Yeah.
But right now, yep. the only venue down here is Reverb, and it's not...
Yeah, it's nowhere you want to play. A lot of the times, and I refuse to fucking do this, it's pay to play.
As I said, the pay to play.
If you don't sell X amount of tickets, you have to fucking pay the rest of that. And go fuck yourself, dude. They're not here to see your venue. They're here to see the bands.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough bands say I'm not going there. He's not going to have that local music scene, and it's, you know.
Well, yeah, they're not here for your fucking overpriced beer, dude. They're here for the fucking music.
Yeah.
So first and fucking foremost, pay the band and not make them be your fucking road crew and your fucking, like, promoter. Most of these places have a promoter and pay someone. And I'm going to shut up because everyone's telling me to shut up, so I'm going to shut up.
No, I totally know where you're coming from. I wouldn't say I'm a promoter, but I did put together a show, but... I think there's got to be a give and take, right? So obviously
there's an expectation of the band, like,
yeah,
fucking promote the shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, put your name out there, get people in at the venue, and yes, it is a give and take. The promoter hired by the venue should at least promote and get people there.
Absolutely, it shouldn't be on to the band to bring everybody in. The promotion should be working as well.
Especially when we're playing in Boston or like. Vermont or someone. Dude, I'm not from here. I don't know anyone in this area. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. And it takes a hit out of the local band's pocket too, because obviously those guys, like, you guys aren't on that level yet, and you're asking them to pay a money or a fee to go in there and play, and it's like there's nowhere else to play. So you're kind of doing your local music service a disservice by doing that to them as well.
Well, yeah, because then you don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
Because it costs me money to play here.
Yeah, and that's money you guys can put into a new sound or a new gear or new equipment or buying merchandise so you guys can sell and make money for yourselves. And it's just taking a hit out of you guys, and it's not. I mean, obviously, I know they have to pay the bills too, but you don't want to gouge an up and coming band. It's just not. It's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page of we don't give a shit if we ever play there again.
Yeah,
Chameleon Club was actually a place that really did that well, where they wanted you to sell tickets, but like
they compensated you for your effort and for your work tickets,
and if you didn't sell the 20 tickets or whatever, they wouldn't say you couldn't play or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of how I like. That's how, if I had a venue, that's the way I would do it. Like, listen, if you guys sell these X amount of tickets, you get a percentage of what you make ticket-wise, and then the rest goes to, like, to pay the bills of this thing. Like, you're obviously using our PA or our sound or stuff like that, so there's got to be give and take. But to say, like, oh, you owe us money even if you do sell tickets, that's kind of bullshit.
Exactly. We do a lot of DIY shows, so, like, a touring band gets more money than, like if we go, like, 50 miles from home, that's still a local show for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a band that came from Boston, like, Jesus Christ, cover their gas mile.
All right, we're back. We had some technical difficulties. We lost the guys here, but we are back.
I think
the question we had before, we just went to age gap, and the question I was going to ask next was, I know there are two brothers in the band. Is this your first band together as brothers, or have you guys have been in bands before with each other?
No, we were in a band together.
Three in the dark!
Has a lot of your fan base from other bands carried over to this band? Are they so drastically different styles of music, maybe it's hard to you know?
I think it's so far apart in, like, timeline-wise, like...
For me, it's all different styles of music.
Well, yeah, because, well, there's, like, big spans in between where we both experimented with, like, different genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know.
All right. So, we do a beer podcast. I know we talked about it off camera. What are you guys drinking on the night?
Evil Genius, hashtag adulting.
We just had their pumpkin beer in our last episode.
Really?
Yeah, it was all right. One guy on my show is not a huge Evil Genius fan. He says,
really?
Yeah, he doesn't like their beers, but he goes, he likes their names, but not their beers. I'm a fan of their beers. I don't mind them at all. They're out of the Philadelphia area.
This one is probably, honestly, it's one of my favorites because it's an IPA, but it's got a little sweetness to it. It's not all. Mm-hmm. You know, bitter.
It doesn't
bitter
taste like soapy water.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I know it kind of may seem like to you guys maybe you don't like the Reading Premiums, like Reading Brewing
I don't
Company.
Know if I've ever had Reading
Premium. I've had Reading beer, but I haven't had the premium.
I don't know if it's called the premium, but it's just like a yellow can. It just says Reading beer on it.
Yeah, someone who was that just brought that back, like
Sly Fox, probably.
I don't know. I
love
it.
That was like around back in the day.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. Everything's all fucked up. I blame Corona.
And then what's the other one that's out in Reading that's really popular? Stouts or Stowers or something? They're always at the hockey games. Like they have all their Stouts. Yo, their beers are awesome. Maybe it's just the price point. So I go to I love going to Reading for the hockey games. And I used to go to the indoor football games.
Technical difficulties.
That's all right. It's all right. As long as it's for the doggos, we don't care.
There's a 14-year-old Jack Russell just like roaming around the set.
Basically a wrecking ball right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love going to the Reading, the Saunders Center, whatever it's called, where the hockey games are, the Reading. Yeah. And then you go to
the Santander Center.
That's it.
No, it's not that anymore. It's fucking something else, ain't it?
No, it's
the
Santander.
The Reading Royals.
Yeah, the Reading Royals. You pay like $8 for this huge cup, and then every refill after that's $7. So you just walk up and any beer on their tap is $7 to refill that huge cup. And I always get the triple IPA, and I'm a puddle by third period.
I mean,
well, that's the only way to watch local sports.
Yeah, I mean, you probably only paid probably like $10 or $12 to get in there. So yeah,
if you're local and you like. Like if you're bored on one night, and Corona's not a thing, dude. Those hockey games are a blast. You can sit like on the glass for like you're saying for like $12, and just there's this one guy who plays in the team. His name is Gooch.
Gooch,
Jesus like a Gooch.
Christ.
He's my favorite player.
Go on.
He's an animal. He's so good too. So we always we get the Gooch chance going.
Well, I mean it's just.
That's
perfect wording.
Yeah,
it's a great name.
Yeah, where else in public can you scream "Gooch" at the top of your lungs?
That might be the only place.
Yeah.
Anywhere you're brave enough, really.
I like that. I like that. Anywhere you're brave enough. So, getting into your instruments, I know we talked a little about influence, but is there like a main person in your you know like a bass player, guitar player, singer that you really you draw most of your inspiration from, or you look up to a lot as a musician?
I got three.
Yeah, I'll let Casey go first.
I got Buddy Rich because he's self-taught and, like, just can, well, back in his day, dominate anything and everything. And then you got Travis Barker, just because, like, everything he's done is just, like, awesome. And then I got my old man. He did his shit back in the day, and, like, I got admiration for that. So,
what band was he in?
He was in a band called Phantom's Opera.
Okay.
Condor is the other band he used to be in.
Nice.
And I can't think of any. There was a couple other ones, but, like, they're slipping my mind.
All right, next.
Well, like I said before, my old man has played guitar most of his life, so he's a big reason why I started playing. And as far as, like, musical influences, I guess, or just people that inspire me, I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess Kurt Cobain and Nirvana and Jimi Hendrix and one more. I gotta think of one more.
Top three, Jerry. Fucking.
You know what?
Bon Jovi.
You're gonna make me eat shit for saying this, but because I grew up listening to it, because my dad is literally in the Kiss Army.
Oh, I'm gonna say Kiss. Yes. Nice, nice.
That was you. That was all you.
I was actually getting up, but it wasn't dramatic.
Listen, the first record's really good. It's really good.
I'm a huge Aerosmith guy. I love Aerosmith. That was
all right.
Aerosmith and AC/DC were the two bands I was introduced to first.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
They were my dad bands, and then Zeppelin and The Who came next. But
The Who, Jesus fucking Christ! Like, that's, like, the earliest of punk rock you can fucking get.
First time I ever heard fuck on a record was The Who.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Who are you? Where he goes, who the fuck are you? Yep. On my way to school one morning, and it came on. I was like, did that just happen? He's like, yeah. I'm like, they're fucking awesome.
I think my first fuck was probably Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Fuck you, would you tell me?
Yeah, exactly. It was like fucking one of those crazy college radio stations at like 11:15 at night where like no one's listening and they just played it like uncensored. And I was like, what is going on right now? Like, I was so baffled. Like, I was like, is this happening?
I still remember as a, like, middle school, early high school, me and my friends listening to Rage Against the Machine, and a lot of those guys now are huge right-wing conservatives, and it's like, we grew up listening to Rage Against the Machine. Where did you turn? Like, yeah.
Know what you were listening to?
It's like, you took a left turn somewhere.
I love seeing the memes. It's like, why are they getting so political? It's like, motherfucker, have you, like, listened to what they have put out?
Just,
it's in the name.
Yeah, just look at their name. They're inherently political.
Yeah. Like, I love it. It cracks me up. It's like, we used to listen to it, and they're like, I don't like them anymore. It's like, come on, man. Just relax.
They got too political. No, motherfucker, they've been political the whole time. You've just been so, like, shallow didn't see it.
And also, doesn't Tom Morello have, like, a poli-sci degree from Harvard or some bullshit?
He's up there with Milo with, like, stupid, like, overly educated, like,
right,
for what he does.
Yeah.
Same with Weezer. Didn't all Weezer, like, quit?
Oh,
music?
Yeah, dude, motherfucker Rivers fucking, like, has, like, a crazy doctorate.
Does he?
Yes.
I mean, I don't doubt it, but
yeah, he's like a doctor of some shit. I don't quiz me on this because I ain't gonna know it.
Yeah, I was so bummed that I didn't get to see them live at Hershey this year, and because it all got canceled. Weezer, sure? Fall Out Boy, and Green Day were all touring together.
Oh wow!
I can do without Fall Out Boy.
I like
Green Day and Weezer. Sound awesome.
I don't mind Fall Out Boy. I like them.
Back in 2010, me and Jerry went to see Blink 182
on their reunion tour
when Tom was still in it.
Yeah,
that's the only real Blink 182.
And it was it was Blink 182.
Weezer,
it was Weezer and Taking Back Sunday,
and Chester French. Don't forget Chester French.
Oh yeah, Chester French. Whoever the fuck Chester that French. Is.
Yeah, I my Blink show was Blink 182 and Green Day. It was the Punk Pop Disaster Tour sponsored by MTV.
Oh, for the Take Off Your Pants and Jacket Tour.
Yeah, yeah, that was like fucking 2004.
And it was Hershey Park Arena. And who it was supposed to be like Jimmy Eat World was their opener, but the day of the Hershey Park tour, it changed from Jimmy Eat World to Saves the Day. And I guess people weren't aware of that. And Saves the Day came out and performed, and they got booed off the stage three songs in.
That's fucking awful.
Aww.
Yeah, I felt really bad.
I've never been booed off stage.
I may have participated in a band getting booed off stage one time.
Oh, okay.
Yo, someone came. All right, you came.
It's not their fault.
No, it was totally their fault.
But if B put out their best, you gotta respect that.
So here's what happened. All right. We went to go see Steel Panther at the Sherman Theater, and there was a local band opening up. And we were walking from the bar to like the back of the stage, like the back of the building around, and we seen these guys hanging out. We're like, "What's up, man?" They're all drinking. We're like, "Yo, sweet." So we went up, said hi, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're opening band tonight." We're like, "Oh, cool, man." Now I'm with a bunch of musicians, like everyone that with us are musicians except me, and they're like, "Oh man, good luck." And they're like, "We don't need it." And we're like, "Oh, okay." And they're like, "Yeah, bro, we're good. We don't need that shit." And we're like, "All right, cool. You know, have a great night." They're like, "Whatever, dude." Like they're really dicks. Like they were dickheads. So they get on stage and they start playing, and they're awful. They're bad.
Yeah,
like really bad.
You just triggered a memory.
So this guy,
of this band Wakefield.
Hold on, let him finish.
Yeah. So this guy literally looks like a mix between Joe Dirt and Kid Rock had a baby. he comes out and he takes his shirt off. And he starts singing, and we just start like boo. So then he pulls out an acoustic guitar and tries to pull out like an acoustic song, and he can't play acoustic guitar. So he's just like you know when you're failing in Guitar Hero, it's like plink plink plink.
Yeah.
So like that is happening. So then I just start screaming at the top of my lungs. I start screaming Wonderwall. And the whole crowd starts singing it with me, and then like he's trying to sing his song and play acoustic guitar, and the whole crowd is singing Wonderwall, and nice. It got to the point where he flipped the crowd off and he just walked off stage, and then the rest of the band left, which worked because Steel Panther came out earlier and played longer, so it all worked out.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
Okay, awesome.
I fucking love Steel Panther.
I mean, there has to be, I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but there has to be a level of self-awareness, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to play to the crowd you're fucking playing to.
Yeah. Yeah, they were not good. They were not good at all.
And also realize, you know, when you pull an acoustic guitar out, maybe just not do it because you don't know how to play it.
It was pretty
or
rough.
Have Wonderwall ready in case someone.
Or have it. Wonderwall ready.
Yeah, yeah. If he would have,
you know,
just
he could have played Wonderwall.
The crowd would have ate it up.
Won the crowd back up.
Yeah,
everybody would have loved it. I still want freaking fucking Freebird in our repertoire, just so when that fucking asshole yells Freebird, we can bust out at least the first bar.
I always yell Raining Blood.
Nice.
Okay, that's, you know what? If I had somebody yell Raining Blood at me, I'd accept that way more than Freebird. Or
Stranglehold.
Yeah. I don't know about Stranglehold, actually, but.
If I came to see your band and I didn't talk to you beforehand and I seen with the long hair, I would definitely yell Ted Nugent stuff because he looks like old school Ted Nugent.
Do it, you won't.
Can't scratch me. That's Ted Nugent, right?
Yeah,
damn straight.
He was a beast, and then he got super strange.
Earphones with me.
Oh yeah, he did.
So we missed some people. So who are some musical influences?
I don't really have any.
Yeah, no, we didn't get Sean.
I'm real boring.
Sean doesn't want to talk a lot.
Mostly just my dad.
But
and that's about it.
You don't have any bass players who like inspire, like influence you, or like you really enjoy?
Not really. I'm real boring.
I tried to learn how to play bass, and it's one of those things where until you start trying to learn how to play it, you don't really like. A good bass player kind of hides into like the music. And then when you start learning and like actually looking at the bass and like working on it, it's you definitely realize how important that instrument is.
Oh yeah, it adds an extra level that you don't think about.
Yeah.
And it's like if it's not there, you're like something's lacking. And when it's there, it's like holy fuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've seen the bands that don't have bass players, and it's just like you're missing.
Flat. Yeah.
It's missing.
Or you have a band that doesn't have a very strong bass player, and they usually the bass player just plays basic stuff, and then they have a backtracking of a good bass player.
anybody?
How do we do that?
That's listening to this, you know, the next time you listen to music, turn the bass all the way down and hear how it sounds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't sound good.
It's flat. It's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll learn how to play bass, and then I start messing around with it. I'm like, this is just as hard, if not harder. This is.
Oh, I used to joke around that every bass player is a failed guitarist, and no, they ain't.
No. Did you ever watch what's his name for Metallica, the new guy?
Guy that does the crab walk.
Yeah. He. They had a video of him playing with guitar, like playing the guitar, and he was playing the guitar like he would play the bass, like he was plucking the strings, and it sounded fucking awesome. Like he played it, like
really,
yeah, it was really really cool. Like to the point where James Hetfield was like, "I have to learn how to do that because that sounds awesome." I like him really a lot. Good. Les Claypool is another bass player I really like. I enjoy watching. Flea. I always like Flea.
Oh yeah, well Flea's.
I would say
very entertaining.
Was it Police Academy, fucking 3?
Descendants, Carl Alvarez.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
From the Descendants. He's
on a different level. Like,
yeah, he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize it, but listen to the bass lines in any Descendants song, and it's
oh, yeah, uncomprehendable. Way more technical than you think.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So how have things been for you guys as musicians with COVID? Like, have you guys been hit hard? Or has it turned into...
We played one show this year.
Yeah, we managed to play one, and none of us have coronavirus.
Congratulations. I've been to 3, and I mean, I may have coronavirus. I ask my friend if they have, and if they say no, that's kind of like an STD test. Like, you have an STD? And they're like, no, like I definitely don't.
I mean, plus you.
Yeah.
I mean, fun fact, of the 5 of us, including yourself, I'm probably the only person that's actually been tested for it.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
You have my temperature read every day.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I don't. I've never been tested for it.
I've got 3. They're all negatives.
I messed my finger up, and I'm out of work, so I don't see anyone. I have, like, zero social life, so, yeah, I don't expect to get it. Some of these guys get it.
How have you guys been using the time for the band? Like, have you been recording more or working together on on newer stuff?
Working on newer stuff.
Mostly writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working things out.
What are some of the plans you guys have? You know, once everything kind of goes back to normal.
I mean,
we had a whole summer tour booked this year, so we had to cancel that. Yeah. So we don't know what's going to, like, if we're going to be even allowed to do anything next. Like,
yeah.
Or when.
So, yeah, we're just taking it as it comes.
Have you guys tried any of those live stream shows?
No, because every fucking...
No, we did. We did.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did a live stream show, yeah.
Well.
They were fun for for a bit.
We didn't do, like, a Facebook Live event because every band we know that's done that has gotten, like, 6 followers, and that's a little disheartening.
Yeah. I always
like,
tell
doing
people,
it with, like, someone backing you, like, it's a little more exciting.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, I was going to do one or two for the podcast, just like, hey, just to support a band, like, but I was telling them, like, record it, and then upload it to, and then, like, we'll upload it to secondary, because I think if you try to do it live, it doesn't sound as good, and then it turns people off. So I was
exactly.
So we kind of tricked.
Like
them.
I said, you get like 5 or 6 people watching you, and that's disheartening. Mm-hmm. Like it's like I put my heart into this, and no one cares.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, we play shows and get 6 people
there. Yeah, I mean, it's
I don't look at the
different
crowd when I play though.
Brings back old memories.
Yeah, do you guys ever sneak covers into your sets?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
What are some of your covers you guys do?
So the one we do like constantly that like all of us know by heart, like we don't even have to think about it, is it's called Seeds of Jealousy, and it's by this folk band from Philadelphia. I don't even know if they make music anymore, but they're called The Extraordinaires.
They're fucking awesome.
And we just love this song and this band. And
for years.
we all know how to play it. So when we started the band, we were just like, well, we have to play, you know, Seeds of Jealousy by the Extraordinaires.
That's awesome. Were they like a big thing or just kind of like an indie folk band right out of Philly?
I think they're like more indie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're definitely indie.
Kind of like where our name came from, like small local thing out of Philadelphia.
What are you talking about?
Always Sunny.
That's where Always Sunny came from. Yeah. It was a small. Yeah, yeah. That bullshit.
That's from a lot in LA.
It started as like a no budget, like low ball fucking like, all right, we're going to take a chance on this thing, and it actually worked out, and now it's bigger than it started as. True.
I fucking love that show so much. I want to do a logo spoof for our beer podcast. Our beer podcast called Bangin' Beers Podcast. So I want to do one where it says Bangin' Beers and then podcast, and then on the very bottom, like it looks like their Patty's logo, and it says the worst podcast in Pennsylvania.
Nice. Well, that's what I listened to the first time. I was like, oh, shit, we're going to get drunk as this dude, and...
I mean, we can definitely...
Like, no, it's a different podcast, but once, it does that one, too. And I was like, well, fuck.
And then me and Casey got drunk, and then here are Sean and Taylor.
Yeah.
Well, we can always, anyway? Once COVID goes away, I my podcast travels, man. I have no problem bringing my stuff to you guys. Just have a table and some chairs, and I'll bring beers.
Oh, we got you.
And
we'll do
a Bangin' Beers episode.
Fucking A, right?
Yeah.
Let's bang some beers, bro.
Fuck yeah. We have a lot of breweries reaching out to us.
That sounds a little dirty.
That's exactly why we made it that.
All right.
Yep. Yeah,
were we talking about before this? I can't remember.
Always Sunny and COVID. I don't think before COVID. That. Yeah.
Yeah, like what future plans for the band?
Oh.
Probably a recording. The songs we're working on now.
Yeah, I mean.
Either do another EP or maybe an album finally.
Mm-hmm.
Who does the art for your band?
I have a couple friends that I kind of like poke and prod to like help me out with some projects here and there. So a friend of mine from high school actually did our most recent like EP and like cover art and all that. And then I have other friends that I reach out to that like you compensate them and you trade art for art, basically.
Yeah, well, you guys got your logo done for Punksteria Fest as a superhero, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So the girl who does that is actually, she's the artist of our podcast as well. So she does all of our art for the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
She's unfucking believable. We have the wrestling show we just did. It's me as Macho Man. My co-host is Vader, and my other co-host is the Ultimate Warrior.
No fucking way. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's coming to the merch store. Then we have a Bangin' Beers one that's coming soon where we all look like 80s hair metal people.
Nice, dude.
So the logo.
All I got to say is I'm jealous. Like, am I not pretty enough for this?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you can always.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? Why Jerry? Why not the whole band? Huh? Yeah. Huh?
I think he just did lead singers, but you can always reach out to her. So if you're ever looking for art, you can hit her up.
Well,
she's fantastic.
Then I'm overstepping my bounds and like I'd feel awkward. Like I just want it to happen naturally.
What's her name? I can't think
Tori,
of it right now.
But it's Bewitched. Tori. Yeah, Bewitched Clover Designs is her.
Okay.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
So shout out to Tori at Bewitched Clover Designs.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
Superman.
Yeah, not us.
No, but seriously, I thought.
It was fucking awesome.
Was so fucking cool.
Yeah, she made me.
I know it's just Jerry, but it was still like cool. Like I'm in a band with that dude.
She made me the devil. I don't know if you see it on my screen, but she turned me into the devil.
I'm jealous of that.
Well, we can't see your screen at all.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
my bad.
This whole time we've been looking at nothing.
I'm so sorry, guys. Here.
Oh, there you are. Hi. Oh shit. Oh, I'm jelly of that. Oh, what the fuck?
That's badass.
So we do, we do another show called Truth Behind Illusion, and we talk of like monsters, cryptoids, spooky stories, all that fun stuff. And
I'm part of that. I want in on that.
And every time we have a guest, you get turned into a monster. So.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So maybe we'll work something out. We were just at Gettysburg, and then we did an episode at the Jim Thorpe Prison.
Oh, nice. Did you get the handprints on the wall?
We weren't allowed to go in that cell, but...
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I got to see that shit.
I mean, you get to see it, but we weren't allowed to go like physically in the cell and take photos and stuff of it. That's like their big rule.
Why don't you just stick the camera through the fucking bars and...
Well, here's the thing. Look, they they turned down a lot of really, really big popular TV network deals and shows.
Well, yeah,
that
debunked
do...
their whole shit so they can't make money off of it.
Well, not just that, is that they're not really so much into, like, the guy who owns it's very, like, he wants it more to be respected. If there is spirits, they want to be respected. He doesn't want people going there and, like, taunting them, using equipment, being like this or that. He's more or less keeping the history of the building alive, and that's kind of the angle we went into. Like, we'll hear your stories and experiences, but we're more or less here for the history of it, and that's, I think that's why...
You go in more anthropologically than, like, as a, like, well, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but they've been... We actually built up a cool relationship, and... it's possibly something we're going to be doing annually, is going back to the prison and hanging out.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, so, try to think here. Any of the other bands on the Punxteria lineup that you guys have played with or you're looking forward to playing with?
We're Sweethearts with Sumner Park.
Yeah.
They're like our brother-sister band.
I seen them at Goodfellas. Very, very entertaining.
Oh, fucking they, right.
Yeah. They took the stage. I seen that very, I think it's a lime green bass and then a Ouija board guitar, and
dude,
I was
and
sold.
And his strings, like, just the fact that he will take the effort to buy those stupid colored strings that wear out, like, prematurely, like, I appreciate that.
I've never been to a show where I walked up and asked, can I take a picture of a guitar? And I had to take a picture of the Ouija board one. I love the Ouija board guitar.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool guys. They were supposed to be on the show, but we had a date fallout where some things were going on with them and they weren't able to do it. So never got them on the show, but hopefully in the future we can make that work.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say make sure you get them on there.
Yeah, trying. Yeah.
They're all very nice.
Yeah, very nice people. Dudes. Yeah, they were a good time. I forget who was all playing that show too, at Goodfellas that night. Goodfellas was our hot spot, and then it just that place kind of fell apart, and.
Where was Goodfellas?
That's in Pottsville.
Yeah.
Pottsville.
Yeah.
Did we ever play that?
I don't think so. No. I did back in the day with fucking the Stink Bugs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully, man. Like, that's the big thing is I would love to fucking just find a venue or a place who lets people play music. That's, like, my goal now. There's a few places in Pottsville that have venues that don't realize they don't, like, there's no competition. So, like, if one place opens up and says, hey, we could play music here, and it's big enough to hold a room for, like, 100 or 200
people.
Oh,
yeah, they'll book every weekend if they allow it.
Yeah, the music scene's unbelievable, and I feel like it's really cool that, you know, between this, like us, Noah, and just the music scene in general, everyone's kind of bringing outside music now into Schuylkill County, and people are giving more opportunities to play shows, because, like, a lot of big places, like Reading, I mean, I think the other place that's kind of doing well is, like, Lancaster and Harrisburg, like HMAC and stuff. But, like, besides that, like, these smaller towns really, we're just trying
basement
to...
shows. That's where it's at. Like, that's the only thing going on right now is, like, local underground. Like, you only know by word of mouth, which, like, kind of diminishes what you can branch out to.
Yeah. I've been to a few of those, like, hidden shows where
they're but they're the best. Like,
so much fun.
There's, like, no anxiety. There's no stress. It's like, go down there and fucking play your heart's content and have a blast.
The only problem is when I meet somebody or if I'm the hug guy, like, that's just who I am. And then, like,
I am.
Yeah. And I walk into
right now it's like no go. But like,
I do it and I'm like, oh shit, I realize I'm hugging everybody and it's a fucking pandemic. Yeah, it's a tough habit to break. So
I love giving sweaty hugs because I get done playing. And it's like hug you, and they're like, "Oh, don't touch me." It's like come closer.
He gets pretty. Yeah, he's pretty.
Yeah, my buddy, Dave's
I get
like
into
that.
It.
He's pretty moist when he's done playing.
It's all good though. If you didn't go back to your car smelling like 14 dudes' sweats, you didn't go to the show that night.
Yeah, that's valid. That's valid.
So besides music, what else are you guys into hobby-wise?
Anything and everything.
Video games and music.
Video games, music. I'm into cooking, but it's also, like, my job, too.
Okay.
So
when we go
right
video
now,
games.
RC cars.
Oh, wow. Are you ever see those ones that, like, legit do, like, $120?
Oh, dude. So, like... Some of the detail, the amount of detail some of those guys get into is, like, disgusting.
Yeah. I watched the RC car video the one time on a YouTube binge where you just start watching YouTube and you go in a spiral and watch stuff you didn't even know you wanted to watch.
You get caught in a thread and then you're like a million miles from where you started and it's like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I am thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, I was watching guys jumping houses with RC cars.
Jesus. I'd be entertained by that.
It was awesome. And then three videos later, I was watching somebody get pimples and cysts taken out of their body. It was a good day.
The algorithms are scary.
Yeah. So
it takes you down some weird fucking pathways.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you just got to see where it leads.
Now, when it comes to video games, we're gonna draw the line in the sand here. Are we PS guys, PC, Nintendo, Xbox? Where are we lying?
PlayStation.
I don't give a shit.
Switch. Me neither. I mean, I don't give
Switch,
a shit.
Switch has like weaved its way into my heart.
Yeah. I'm like, gonna agree with that, but
I was anti Switch because it's a home console you take with you, and I got issues with that because when you fucking leave it somewhere and it's like fuck, I want to play this, but I left my whole system at Taylor's house.
Yep, mm-hmm. I love my Switch. It's a very fun system.
It weaseled its way into like some of my favorite things to like lose your time with.
Yep. Now I do have a horse in the race. Like I do prefer one system over the other. But I also am the person, if you ask me what system is better, I will say it depends on what type of game you play. I'm pro Xbox. I'm an Xbox guy.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm a PlayStation.
I used to be PlayStation until I felt like PlayStation as a company just kind of were dirty. I don't like their practices.
I can't argue with you, but I like the super nerdy games, and I feel like more super nerdy games come out on PlayStation than like Xbox.
Like when you like what games are you talking about? Like when you say super nerdy?
I'm talking like Champions of Norrath and Baldur's Gate.
Fact that you said Champions of Norrath makes me I'm more in love with this band. That was one of my favorite games growing up.
Dude, oh my god. Oh, don't get me started. And then
Champions of Norrath and Return to Arms, man. They were the games.
Oh, fucking A, right? Dude, once they came out with the lizard fucking profile, I was like, what is this shit? And then the fucking tail whip, oh shit.
And you can stack bears. You can stack bears and the bears and it was like a glitch in the game where you could have like a
fucking A, right?
Your strength was maxed out and you can one hit the last boss. Yeah. I think
this is about to turn into like the lone Champions of Norrath podcast right now.
Oh, dude, I'm down with that. I'll start a game with you.
I don't have it. It's a hard game to find. I have the original one. I don't have part two.
I have both.
I'm trying to find part two.
And I have Baldur's Gate, the first two that were available on PlayStation 2.
Someone said if you like Champions of Norrath, you'd be into Torchlight. They said it's a really good game. Torchlight and Torchlight 2.
I will have to check that out.
It is on the Switch as well, Torchlight 2. It's a dungeon crawler. Just it's exactly like Champions.
See, that's what I miss. I just miss the fucking melee and the fucking stupid bullshit. Like, just bash buttons and fucking make your way through that insanely hard area and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole next gen thing, man, that Game Pass is tough. It's tough. It's a tough sell for me. Like I the fact that I can just every exclusive game I don't have to go out and buy, it's all free for me. It's hard for me to be like, why would I go buy a $500 system and then I have to pay $60 for every single exclusive that comes out for it?
Oh, see, that's the problem is like now there's games like fucking racing that you're paying $100 for a year pass, mm-hmm. and that's on top of the system.
Yep. Yeah, so I do the Game Pass, and when Forza drops, I get it for free day one.
That's the only time I play my Xbox is when there's like a good sale on Games Pass.
Yeah.
Then I go and play Xbox.
I just picked up the new Assassin's Creed and
Valhalla.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And then we were playing the new Call of Duty a lot last night. That was the other one we were playing.
Nonstop.
I can care less about Call of Duty. Make fun of me if you want. I'm a Fortnite guy. I like Fortnite. And the whole Marvel thing that's there now.
I've been playing.
I'm with you.
Dude, the Marvel shit is awesome.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know Cable was a character. I paid for Cable. I run around the map as Cable doing the Drake dance.
Nice.
Where else can that happen? Oh, Daredevil's. I bought Daredevil. Daredevil.
See, I didn't pay for this season pass. I paid for the Deadpool season pass, so I got Deadpool.
Daredevil's a character?
He was. Yeah.
Daredevil and Ghost Rider. And Venom comes next week.
Okay. Dude,
Daredevil's like my favorite.
Venom looks great.
Yeah.
Is this where your heart is?
I think this Thursday they're going to – it's coming up to the end. So Galactus is coming. So it's going to be like an end of the event thing where you fight Galactus.
Those are always fun, the random like events they do every season.
I've yet to like do one.
Yeah, me neither. So this is
– like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
Like the marshmallow one. I wish I was part of that.
I didn't even like marshmallow, but it was cool.
Yeah. The Travis Scott one I watched online, that was kind of cool. I don't even know who Travis Scott is, but it made me listen to his music.
I did that one. I was like flying through the sky with this guy. I'm like, I never even heard of you before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, fuck it. Why not?
I respect it, man. I think it's a fun game. I don't want to keep you guys too super late, but is there anything else in closing you guys want to get out there or talk about?
Fuck Donald Trump.
All right.
Well, I don't want to touch this.
I mean, why not throw it? I'm not saying.
I mean,
the other side. I'm just saying, fuck Donald Trump. That's all I'm saying.
We have an EPM.
But it's about to get dirty later on in this whole fucking like.
And I can't say fuck Donald Trump.
He's very much entitled to his opinion. I don't like any politicians, so I can care less who like. I think they should fight to the death.
I'm an anarchist.
Yeah, I think they should fight to the death. That's just me, but it is what it is.
I just got told to. I'm gonna shut up. Sorry.
Is your publicist in the back yelling at you now?
Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're not. Like I said, everything goes on this show. I've had political talks on here. People have want me to do political talks on here, and it's just like, everyone's a sheep. It just depends on what shepherd you're following.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm an anarchist. Yeah. Fuck it. You do your shit, and it doesn't matter. If I do my shit, it doesn't matter. If you stop doing your shit, then I got to get on your case. That's how it's supposed to work.
You think you're more of a Satanist than anything. By definition. Well, that's a whole other topic for another day. So, you said new EP coming out. When should we look forward to that?
Oh, no, it just came out, a month ago?
2 months ago?
It came out a little while ago.
It's so hard to promote anything right now, so...
We got, Noah's putting out some pre-orders for a physical copy on the Punksteria Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm. So that is the too old to trick or treat, too young to die.
Yep. Good, because I fuck it up every time I say it.
You got it right the first try.
Yeah. I thought I purchased this. I don't know why it's not showing up my music on Bandcamp now. I don't have to fuck with this. But I was buying it. I don't know if it didn't go through or I don't know what happened. But I will be purchasing it. I listened to 2 or 3 songs on it. I like it a lot. I like your style. So if you head over to Bandcamp and search Horrible Charlie, you will find it. Also, Facebook at Horrible Charlie. And you guys have Instagram as well.
And we're on basically
pretty much everything.
Streaming
service.
Spotify, Amazon,
social media. Yep.
All the links will be below, so you guys can follow them and support this band. And I look forward. Hopefully, we get to see you guys before Punksteria Fest. But this COVID goes away, and we can go back to seeing some shows and get you guys in the Skook before that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
I love the Skook.
Yeah. I would love to meet you sometime soon, in person.
We need to drink beers.
I'm so glad you turned your camera on because I can actually see you.
I thought it was on the whole time.
90% of this we've been talking to a blank screen. And
I do apologize.
We can see you now.
Yeah, nice. I apologize. I thought I was there the whole time.
But, you're a handsome guy.
Thank you. I try. I get told if Mark Wahlberg or Nick Jonas just let himself go and got fat, that would be me.
Oh my fucking God.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can definitely
That's
see
exactly
it.
What it is.
Yep. It's the beady little eyes and the pug nose. Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah,
that's me.
That's pretty accurate, dude.
The funniest one I heard is my buddy Steve said if Nick Jonas went like this and blew himself up, that would be. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just.
It's funny, though. Sometimes the best you. And then it's just like, man, I should probably go to the gym.
But you do you. You live your life.
Fuck gyms. Just trick yourself into working out. Go kayaking.
Yeah, I got to figure something out. I got weighed the other day. It was depressing. It was depressing.
Oh no.
Let's just say I'm catching up to Andre. I gotta figure something out. I carry it very well. From here down, it's just a shit show. I'm like Mac from Always Sunny. I'm cultivating mass right now.
You got shredded.
You just got to turn around and fucking shred that shit.
Did you ever see the video how we did that? Like they asked him how he got so shredded. He's like, it's super easy disgusting. To get shredded. He's like, you just don't drink beer, don't do anything you like, work out every single day, eat nothing, and have the studio pay the same guy who got everyone from Magic Mike jacked. It's super simple.
Yeah, no, it's disgusting. It's like, fuck no, not today. Thank you kindly.
Yeah, yeah. I always think, like, I should work out, and then I do, like, 4 squats. I'm like, fuck that. I'm over this. I'll just stay fat. It's easier. Dad bods are in. But thank you guys so much.
I'm straight.
It was a blast. I appreciate you guys reaching out and doing this. We will have to do this in person soon. You can join the podcast table. We'll have you here in person once this all kind of goes away. Sound good?
Oh, hell yes.
All right. Well,
sounds fucking fantastic.
That'll do it for Interviews with Everyday People. We'll see you guys next time. We're out of here.
Smoke in the room I trapped myself in so long.